Now, over the past several weeks, we have been discussing the words of Jesus, which appear in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 53. There Jesus said, "This is the hour when darkness reigns." And then the scripture which follows through the next several chapters actually reveals how the progression of the reign of darkness crept over the earth. In the last several weeks, we have seen the signs of the reign of darkness. The first one being that Jesus was deserted by his closest friends. The second one being that Jesus was mocked by those who did not know him. The third one being that those who should have defended the truth, that is, Israel's leaders, denied the truth and felt perfectly justified in doing so. And then number four, we saw last week how justice was subverted by the evil intentions of men. Now, in that case, what happened is that even though Jesus was pronounced innocent, you remember, three times, he was condemned to die. Justice was perverted. And I pointed out to you that's how it always happens. A number of you came to me after the sermons on Sunday and said, "You know what, you're absolutely right. We can see that happening in our own time and in our own lives." And it's true, because Satan is not creative. He repeats the same pattern over and over again. So evil's progression over us and over the world in which we live always follows the same pattern. Now today we're going to look exclusively at the fifth sign of the reign of darkness. What we will see is that evil extends its influence over the earth. As it does that, more and more people, innocent and guilty people, are affected by it in various ways, both good and bad. The fifth sign of the encroaching reign of darkness is this, sign number five: evil affects others. Now, I want you to watch what happens in the passage of scripture that Steve just read to you. For that text sets before us a bunch of people, and in doing so, it shows us exactly how evil begins to affect people, innocent and guilty people, good and bad people, in good ways and bad ways, as it extends its reign over the earth. You ready? Here we go. The first person that we encounter in the story that was read to you today is entirely new to the biblical story. He is a character that has never appeared in the Bible before this. His name is Simon. No, not Simon Peter. He's in there a lot. This Simon came from the African province east of Egypt called Cyrenaica. He was a good Jew who lived hundreds of miles from Jerusalem, but who had come there to celebrate the Passover. Now, just so you understand, it's probably the only time that this guy would ever be able to make the trip to Jerusalem. And it was then, as it is now, the heartfelt hope of every devout Jew that he would be able to eat the Passover in Jerusalem at least once in his lifetime. Simon, the guy we're talking about, had come to Jerusalem to fulfill that religious dream. He was there, maybe the only chance he would ever get to eat the Passover in Jerusalem. But on that day, when he entered the city of Jerusalem, he got sucked in to the drama. The procession to Calvary passed directly in front of him. Jesus was so weakened by the beating that he had received that he could not carry his own cross to the place of execution. So the Roman soldier compelled Simon, an innocent bystander, mind you, to carry the cross of Jesus. Honestly, Simon had no stake in the matter. Most likely, he didn't even know who Jesus was or what was happening there that day. But as evil tightened its reign, this innocent man was sucked into its drama and forced to carry Jesus' cross. See, evil affects people, even those who are not involved directly in its drama, evil affects people. Now, I want you to hear the tradition. This is not biblical, it's just part of the tradition of the church. In the Gospel of Mark, Mark mentions Simon's sons, Alexander and Rufus. He mentions them as if the church should know who they are. Scholars say that Simon was so affected by his experience with Jesus on the way to Calvary that day that he eventually accepted Jesus as his Savior and led his sons, Alexander and Rufus, to the Lord as well. And his sons became known in the church because they were devoted leaders of the church. Now catch this. Even the reign of evil cannot stop the plan of God. Its effects may at first feel horrible and bad. I bet Simon was not at all happy that his holiday in Jerusalem was ruined by having to carry that cross all that way. But what God means for good will eventually bring about good. Now, the second group of people that are mentioned in today's text are the daughters of Jerusalem. That day, there was a large group of people who followed the procession of criminals to the place of execution. Some of them were simply interested in watching the spectacle unfold. They were into the blood and the gore that was happening. But in the crowd, there was a bunch of women. Now, the text makes it clear that some of them have been followers of Jesus before any of this happened. Others of them were not followers of Jesus, but were distraught by the sight of this bloody, weakened man being drugged through the streets of the city and led to his death. The result was that all of them wept. Those who were followers of Jesus wept because their Lord was being crucified. Those who were just seeing this ugly sight wept because of the ugliness that was unveiled before them. But as they wept, in his agony, Jesus said to the daughters of Jerusalem, "Do not weep for me, but for yourselves." And then he prophesied a time when the consequences of their action on that day would bring down on the city the wrath of God, and they would wish that they were dead. Evil affects others. Even though these women were just on the edge of the thing, watching what was befalling them, just though they were on the edge of the drama, they were affected by evil. Now, I want you to remember that according to history, in the year 70 AD, the wrath of Rome fell on Jerusalem, and the city was besieged and destroyed. That day of wrath fell, and the Jews reaped the harvest of the reign of evil which they themselves began. And on that day, many of them surely wished they were dead. Now, the next people in today's text affected by the encroaching reign of evil were the thieves who were crucified beside Jesus. There were two of them, both of them guilty of the crimes of which they had been accused. Unlike Jesus, they both deserved to die. One of them joined those who mocked and made fun of Jesus. "If you are who you say you are," he said, "save yourself, and while you're at it, save us too." Even as he died, evil reached out and pulled him in, pulled him away from God. But the other thief rebuked the first one and said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." You cannot tell how evil will affect those around you. Some will be sucked into its grip, and others will be moved closer to God. But what I can tell you with absolute certainty is that evil affects those around you. But I would have you remember the words of Jesus to the second thief. He said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And I'll say it to you once again, even the reign of evil cannot stop the good plan of God. And then there were the Roman soldiers who crucified Jesus. They drove nails into his hands and into his feet. They made fun of him as he hung on the cross. Even as he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," they were gambling at the foot of the cross to see who would get his stuff. They too were gathered into the encroaching flow of darkness, for evil affects other people. But in the end, the commander of those soldiers, watching what happened that day, said out loud, in testimony to the world, "This was the Son of God, the righteous one." Even though evil extends its grip and the darkness turns bitter and cold, the reign of evil cannot stop the good plan of God. That soldier saw through it all and knew who Jesus was. And last, we see the rulers of the nation of Israel once again. They stood among the people, setting the example for the people to follow. They mocked the Son of God. Those who should have known him and who should have worshipped him sneered at him. And the people of Jerusalem followed their example. They all made fun of the Son of God. For evil affects people. If you'll let me, evil infects people. Now here's the lesson from today's text. When we become absorbed into the progressive flow of evil, either by participating in the life of a culture outside of the church or by letting ourselves fail in our witness and in our living, when we become wrapped up in the progressive flow of evil, it infects the people around us. Some of those around us get sucked up in the evil flow. They are adversely affected. Sometimes they are pulled away from God and even end up mocking him and denying the things that they believed once to be true. Sometimes the flow of evil pulls people away from God. But here's the good news. Sometimes the very flow of evil forces people closer to God. But when we let evil have its way in us, we can be absolutely certain that it will affect and infect those who are around us. Sign number 5 of the increasing progressive reign of darkness is that evil affects others. I'll say it to you again, just for fun this time. The reign of evil, though it affects other people around us, the reign of evil cannot stop the good plan of God. Amen.